Welcome to Courtside, the official England netball podcast. I'm Lindsay, a TV and radio presenter and international netball commentator, and I'm so excited to say that in this very special Netball World Cup year, the official pod is back, taking you behind the scenes and closer to the England roses than ever before. Along with unique access to the players, I'm also going to delve into the culture of the Vitality Roses and what it means to represent your country and the qualities required to play against the best in the world. But before I bring in my star guest, let's just take a moment to swat up on the World Cup. So 2023 marks the 16th Netball World Cup, a tournament that's been held every 4 years since the inaugural event in England in 1963. This year, Cape Town, South Africa will play host, signifying the first time it'll take place on the continent of Africa. 16 teams battle it out across 10 days in the hope of becoming world champions. The current title holders are New Zealand, but get this for a cracking bit of trivia. I love trivia. Out of the 15 Netball World Cups that have been played so far, Australia have won 11 of them. That's right, 11. New Zealand have taken the title 5 times and Trinidad and Tobago have won once. And if you're wondering what's going on with my maths there, Australia, New Zealand and Trinidad and Tobago all drew in 1979 when the tournament was played as a round robin. So that's why there's so many numbers involved with that. The format now, though, is comprised of first and second group stages, followed by semi-finals and the final. And just so we're bang up to speed, for the first stage of the tournament this year, England have been placed in Pool B and will face Barbados, Malawi and Scotland. I'm actually really looking forward to the World Cup this year because I feel that it's going to be more competitive than ever. Certainly looking at the squads representing the top 4 teams, Australia, New Zealand, England and Jamaica. Just what will it take to be crowned champions in netball's most prestigious event? Strength, smarts, a little bit of magic and huge determination, which brings me nicely to my special guest for this episode of Courtside. A rose with those qualities, along with 45 England caps and a Netball World Cup title to her name, but we'll come back to that. Chelsea Pitman, welcome to Courtside.
Thank you for having me. And I quite like listening to those stats. It's so interesting. I didn't know about the draw and also 16 teams, 16th World Cup.
Nice about that, isn't it? Well, I wanted to say, I've just spelled out all that World Cup history in front of you. How does that make you feel ahead of the tournament? Like, how are the nerves?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a nervous sweater. So as you started talking about the World Cup, my palms have gotten sweaty and this is probably too much information. My stomach also gets sweaty when I'm nervous. So yeah, those things have started to get a bit damp. But that's just because I think I know the enormity of what the World Cup is and what it means. And that's just an excited part of me.
Does the sweaty hands ever interfere with ball handling, let's say?
No, I'd love to say yes, let's blame a bad pass on the sweaty hands, but no, it definitely isn't. You'll see me rubbing the side of my dress constantly, especially at the start of a game when the nerves are there and evident. But no, like all the girls say, I've got like trap hands. They're like pretty big and massive, so a little bit of sweaty hands isn't going to really make me drop any balls or pass any bad ones. That's just my decision making.
Not at all. Well, I will look out for the sweaty palms on the new dresses, of course. That's quite exciting.
Yeah, no, we really love them. I remember when we first got a look at them, because I know you sometimes hear about, oh, they're too plain or whatever, the noise was around it, but the colour is so striking. And when you see all of us, when people get the opportunity to see us all together on court in that bright, bold red, it's really fierce. We love it. So for us to have the opportunity to step out in a World Cup in the new dress, and there's new tweaks to it, like the bib and the font and everything. But first and foremost, it's the England dress. So they could have done whatever they wanted with it. It's about like the badge on it that's saying you're an England rose.
Oh, what a wonderful thing. And my palms have gone now as well. I've got excited about it. It's wonderful to hear you talk about the World Cup. We are recording this podcast in London, which is, of course, the home of London Pulse, the team that you played for in the Netball Super League. But let me take you back. Where did your netball journey actually begin?
How far back do you want to go? Because I've been around a while. are we talking like as a little kid or first?
How did you get into it as a kid?
So I was such a tomboy and I did not want to play any female sports, because back when I was 10, 11, it was definitely netball was for the girls, rugby league was for the boys or rugby, and I was rugby league rugby. I did not want to play netball at all. And I remember I had a primary school teacher that knew that I loved playing sport and said, I'll let you trial for any area team in any sport you want if you give netball a go, because you could only play one winter sport at school. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll give it a go. And I won't say I fell in love with it, because I didn't want to wear a skirt or wear what you call bummers back then underneath the skirt. I wanted to wear boxer shorts. So I think I got in trouble by the umpire for having boxer shorts on, so they had to come off. And then I think I just, the friendships developed and I was like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. I quite like it. And yeah, didn't know if I'd be a netballer, but kept playing, gave up the rugby boots, and yeah, the rest is history. So that was, I was 10 when I picked up a netball.
And people can tell from your accent that you are not British born. You were born in Australia.
Yes, yeah. So born in Australia, grew up there and went through the Australian pathway. And I'm sure many people, if you're a netball fan, you know about the history of how I became a Rose. And it's just a different way and a different journey to how I got to being a Rose. And I wouldn't change it for anything, because that's me.
Well, I think we'd like to know just a little bit more about that, if you don't mind, because as I did mention, Australia have won the Netball World Cup 11 times and you helped them to one of those victories. First of all, what does it take to win a World Cup?
Yeah.
And secondly, how did you make the decision to switch to England?
I think I look back at 2011, it was Singapore World Cup, and I was with the Diamonds and I was the baby of the team, first time ever being in the squad, let alone selected for the Diamonds. And I just feel like a bit of a deer in headlights. When I look back, I just was happy to be there and happy to play a role, and was unsure if I'd even get much court time. And thankfully, I look back, like I played quite a bit and I played in the final and it went to extra time. I think we did so much work behind the scenes, like video analysis. We called it analysis paralysis. Like Norma Plummer was our coach at the time, and she made sure that we knew our opposition better than we knew ourselves. So you'd almost be so tired from watching video as a group, but then you'd sort of see things unravel on court and you're like, okay, we see the structures they're going into. We've also spoken about, trained about, how do you beat that? And I think for me, being a young one, the nerves were different then, because I didn't really didn't get the gravity of the World Cup. And like I said, I was just like, woo, I'm happy to be here. But yeah, you just knew structures. You knew what we had to do. We, like I said, analysis paralysis, went over every single thing that could possibly happen. And if this happens, what do we do? If this happens, what do we do? And everyone was on board with that. And I think too, they had a winning culture. The Diamonds still do have such a winning culture. Historically, they've been around the top for the whole time. So I think that's inbred in Australians and the Diamonds. And yeah, so it's just surreal, really, when I look back, because you remember moments of the World Cup and everything and the funny parts that happen away from the netball court. But yeah, so that's what I just say. It's knowing your craft, knowing your structures, knowing your teammates inside out, as well as doing as much possible reconnaissance on who you're coming up against.
It's so interesting to hear that side of it. And Norma Plummer's back, of course, for this World Cup, but with South Africa, so it's all moved round. And you made the switch to the Red Refs in 2017. How did you make that decision?
So originally I got dropped from the Diamonds or wasn't selected, and that was extremely disheartening. It was a Commonwealth Games year. I'd made the change to West Coast Fever to hopefully better my partnership with Caitlin Bassett, because she was in the Diamonds. All these decisions I'd made to hopefully make my career longer with the Diamonds. And it didn't happen. And that's the way the cookie crumbles. But for me, it was just a tough year netball-wise. I sort of fell out of love with the sport, because I always loved going to training, always loved every single part of it. But for that year, it just was a bit of a drainer. That's how I call it. And so I just was like, I'm going to step away. I'm going to go to the UK, have a bit of fun, and then started playing for Thunder. And Tracy Neville was the head coach there, and I just loved her. She was just an absolute hoot. I'd never had a coach like it. She was so direct, straight to the point. Reminds me a little bit of Norma Plummer. Mm. You know where you sit with Tracy.
Yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, exactly. But I love that. There's no grey area, and you can have a pretty brutal conversation back and forth, and you'll be mates after it. Like, and that's what I loved about her coaching style. But anyway, she got put into the position midway through the Thunder season, and I'd already not played for Australia for 2 years, I think, at that stage. And she just said, like, what would your interest be looking at being up for selection for England when the time comes? And I didn't really, I took it like a pinch of salt, like, okay, yeah, what does this mean? What does it look like? Because I hadn't really known anyone to really do it. I knew Irene van Dijk did it, but I think going from Australia to England, I just was like, has anyone else done it? But anyway, I said, leave it with me. And then we had a few more further conversations, but I needed to know that it was right for me and right for just me. I was going to say everyone else, but what it was, I was so nervous about what people thought about me. And for me doing that, that it made me sit on it for too long. So thankful I didn't let the fear of being like, oh, people are going to think like poorly of me or bad of me or just call me out for it. So when I said, okay, yeah, this sits all right with me. Like, this is I'm representing my dad's culture. I feel like such a sense of belonging being here in England.
Your dad's from Yorkshire, isn't he?
Yeah, no, I don't know where Yorkshire came from. He's from Shaftesbury, but like pool area.
I'm from Yorkshire.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is not Yorkshire.
Yeah, no, and you both sound very different. Yeah. Because so. I remember when he read the article, he's like, I'm not from there. Did you say that? And I was like, I don't think so, but I'm very nervous in things. Like, I may have just a bit quickly spat something out. Sorry, Dad.
Oh, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, yeah. Good. No, so he reminds me every time now. He's like, make sure you put it in there. I'm like, yeah, sorry, Dad. So that was, I think, just bittersweet for me, able to know that 100%, yeah, I'm committed. And I look at both my times, like I'm currently still a Rose. I feel such a sense of home and belonging here that I'm not discrediting what I achieved and being a part of the Diamonds. It's just my heart's here. Like, everything's here. Like, my soul's here. I know that sounds so stupid, but I'm a Rose through and through.
Yeah. It sounds wonderful,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. and I'm so thankful that Tracy had that conversation with me and kept having the conversation with me.
What do you do for the Ashes? Which side of the fence do you sit on?
Yeah, I'm not a cricket fan. So, but yeah, like I actually support England through and through with every sport because I am like, if I'm pulling on the England dress and I have such a pride saying I'm playing for my country and people, again, they might question it because of my accent and I didn't grow up here, but I have such a sense of belonging. I want every England sport to be successful because I have a sense of belonging and I'm part of your legacy and your history because I represent you, you represent me.
Yeah.
That little circle of just making sure you support those that are in the same craft.
It's good to hear. What do you do for Eurovision? No, I'm only joking. Why are Australia in? Nobody knows.
I don't know.
Why are they in? It's anyway, weird. They are. And you did talk about the Commonwealth Games there. Of course, you played an integral part in 2018 when England won their first gold medal ever. That's netball history at the Commonwealth Games against your former side. Like, how did that feel?
Yeah, wow. I still remember like the electricity in the stadium, the arena, of like the crowd and the vibration. Like when they were cheering for Australia, you could feel it go through you. But the falling on the winning side, it's so hard to describe. I need a thesaurus and a dictionary and need to really look up on my vocabulary because I don't do it justice on how amazing that felt to be a part of that team, and the journey of it. Like, it was so stressful, extremely stressful, but that's because we had this belief that we can do this and no one else believed it. And it's high-performing environment, so you have to be on a lot of the time. But just to have done it with that group that we had, there was something special. There's like a simmering vibration of we've got something here. And to do it on the Gold Coast at an Australian Commonwealth Games is a little bit sweeter than if it was anywhere else.
It was such a moment. And it was actually on really early in the morning here in the UK. And I got up for that. And it was so stressful, but so wonderful. I was yelling at the TV. I woke my husband up and he came down. He's like, what is going on? And then he just sat and watched with me. And oh, what a moment.
I love that.
It's just wonderful. I guess following that really big win and then the bronze medal with England in 2019 at the Netball World Cup in Liverpool, 2020 then was a real year of challenges for you, both on and off the court, because you've been playing in the Suncourt Super Netball out in Australia, but you weren't offered a new contract with the Adelaide Thunderbirds, who you'd co-captained for two seasons. Mm-hmm. What was going through your mind at that time? Because I know it's not the easiest thing to talk about, but you had to step away from the sport that you love.
Yeah, I think I remember because I got married at the end of 2019 and we went on a honeymoon and I came back and found out I was pregnant. And it wasn't that we were trying or anything, but it was like, oh, okay. Like, but I know people maybe think like, oh, you're an adult, you have sex, you're going to fall pregnant type thing if you're not using protection. But anyway, it happened. And yeah, and so I was like, okay, wow. And I was at first, I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do about netball? Like, I felt really bad for the team. And then I was like, okay, actually really want this to happen. This is amazing. And then we had our first miscarriage. And so, but that put it in my head that I was like, oh, okay, I think I want to be a mum. And so I just said, I'll leave it up to whatever God's in his hands if I do fall pregnant again. And if it happens and goes all the way, we'll leave it at that. And then fell pregnant again. It was like, okay, yeah. And I was so nervous already for the first. I was like, oh my gosh, like what if it happens again? And my husband was like, it's fine. Like you look different. You're having all the symptoms. You weren't having the symptoms last time, yada, yada. But obviously, like I've been open about it. We miscarried that one and that was a bit further along. And I miscarried actually when I was in the quad series here in England.
Oh gosh.
So before our season started. So I think I remember speaking to Jess going, oh, so I'm pregnant. I'm going to like tell the girls at the end of the tour. And then just before it started, I started miscarrying. Oh. So it was just a whirlwind, but I was like, no, I've got a job to do. So just played through it.
Wow.
And then I just remember the hardest part was because I just went in on myself, didn't speak to my husband, just was like, I think this is happening. I don't have definitive like proof because you need to go see doctors and all that stuff. Yeah. So just dealt with it, played, and then found out, yeah, definitely had miscarried. And then, okay, going back to playing netball again, because in my head I thought 2020 wouldn't actually happen. But then I guess for me, COVID hit. So it was just a big year. COVID hit, our season got postponed. Then we weren't really trying because I mentally was like, I just want to focus on getting fit, being okay for the season. And then I remember I was feeling really run down and just feeling yuck. And then I went and saw our team doctor. He's like, could you be pregnant? I'm like, nah, like there's absolutely no chance. And then you do your blood test and he's like, oh, yep, you are. And I was like, I'm so fertile.
You are. This is the third time now.
This is great. But then, it was ectopic. So then I had to have surgery and that, like, again, that was my second ectopic. I had an ectopic pregnancy with my previous partner.
Do you mind just explaining what that means? Because we're trying to be open about these phrases.
Oh my God. I didn't even, my first time with the ectopic pregnancy, I had no idea what it was, did not know how serious it was. And I got rushed to hospital because it was rupturing. And I just remember the doctor screaming at me, being like, you need to stop moving. Because I went up to walk to the toilet and he's like, do you know how serious this is? So an ectopic pregnancy is, it hasn't got to where it's supposed to be. It gets stuck in your fallopian tube.
The egg gets stuck in the fallopian tube. Yeah.
And so because it gets stuck there, it just can be life-threatening for a female, because if it keeps growing, you're unaware that you are pregnant, it can rupture and you can have internal bleeding and it can be extremely serious. And if you don't get it soon enough, you usually have to get that tube removed. And that's what happened with me for the first time. But luckily the second time we got it in time, and so I've got one left, the one tube left.
That's good.
Woohoo. A win. Yeah, so a bit sidetracked, but ectopic pregnancies, I had no idea, because I remember having the ultrasound and, you know, like you see the cliche, the movies, like we're just going to go get a doctor and you know something's wrong. And that's what they did to me and I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then the ambulance was called and everything. I'm like, the hospital's 2 kilometres away, I'll drive myself. They're like, no, you can't.
No.
And I was just the deer in headlights again. But that's the thing, you just don't know these things until they happen to someone in your inner circle or it happens to yourself. And so I learned a lot that time. And then the second time I sort of knew what I had in store for me. And all I said to the doctor, my obstetrician, please save me tube.
Oh yeah, I need that one. Please save it. What about the support from the Roses? Because you said you told Jess that you were pregnant.
Yeah, wonderful. Like they were just, anything you need, tell us. But the hard thing was, I was like, I don't know what I need. Like, I just want to focus on netball. I just want to be there for the team. I don't want to let people know. Mm. And she kept checking in when I was back at home. Because after the Roses tour, actually, I had to have a like, because I didn't miscarry properly, I didn't clear it properly. Mm-hmm. So I had to have surgery to just make sure it passed through me, which again, not ideal, but I just took a day, 2 days off training, went back and
went back to it. What impact do you think that it had on you as both a player and a person?
I think I just sort of tried to put it in a place where I didn't really deal with it. And then there'd be things that I'd get triggered, and I'm very good. Like, I've always leant on sports psychologists to better my performance, and I didn't necessarily lean on anyone at the time, and I probably should have, but it was just the way I was dealing with it. And because I didn't want the club to really know at that stage, because I didn't want to be questioned on, where's your loyalties? You're an athlete. You shouldn't be doing this thing. Oh. I know we shouldn't be a conversation, but that's the way I felt. So I didn't even tell my teammates, but then I ended up having to tell them, because like a few of them noticed. They're like, you're a bit off. What's going on? Yeah. And being I was co-captain then, I felt a sense of pressure to be like this stoic, like lead by example, never show emotion type thing.
But this is at the Thunderbirds.
Yeah. And once I told them, I was so glad I did, because they were just the best.
Yeah.
Checking in on me. And I also just released the weight off my shoulders, and I sort of just moved on from it and just cracked on. And then COVID hit, and we went into a hub, and then I think I had the ectopic 2 weeks before we flew out for round one, and I played a full game. So like, just
of course you did,
Charles. Yeah, it was fine. But then it was just the hub life, being away from family and stuff, that I probably just, and I look back at my 2020 season and think it was one of my best and consistent ones. And I think, because I don't know what it is with me, but when I'm going through inner turmoil, I play really good netball. I think because everyone says I play really well angry. So I think maybe I was angry in some sort of sense of just what was happening or what had happened, because you mentally go, oh, I'm playing. Oh, I'm not playing. I'm playing. Like, it was just a bit of a yo-yo. So I look back now and get more emotional than I did in the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a reflection piece of what it was. But yeah, 2020, and then it just got worse when I didn't get a contract. But
I mean, you laugh about it now. Yeah. And I can see, you know, how physically and mentally strong you are.
Yeah.
But that must have been so tough.
Yeah, it really was, because, again, I thought I played a really good season, and like, my stats were good, and yeah, I just personally, I was like, okay, yep. And conversations were really positive at the start of when the renegotiation period came, and I thought I was part of the core group to be re-signed type thing. So I didn't even bother putting feelers out, because I was like, Adelaide's my home type thing. And so I've spoken about it before, and then going into the meeting with the coach and the HP guy, the high performance director, thinking we were talking about contracting. And it was we're not contracting you. How do you want us to talk about retirement type thing? And I was like, what?
What? So that came from them?
Yeah, like, are you going to retire? Like, what?
That wasn't you
conversation
saying,
piece. No, not at all. So it was just, and I just remember like trying to not cry, but I ended up being like, you know, when you get the big lump in your throat, and I was like, I don't want to retire. Leave this with me type thing. Like, do you have any questions? And I literally had nothing. I just was so shocked. I still remember, because I remember speaking to Layla Gusketh, who was also the co-captain with me at Thunderbirds at the time, messaging her straight after. I was like, bro, they're not contracting me. And she was like, what? So, it was just, I don't know, interesting. And then after I got over the emotional part, or like the shock of it, I then said, like, can we have a conversation around why and stuff? Mm. And their reasons were for youth, which I completely, completely understand. But I think because of the backflip of the conversations 3 weeks prior were very different to 3 weeks after.
Just to check in, how old are you?
Now?
Yeah.
I just turned 35.
You see, you're still a whippersnapper. You've got years and years to go. So, and how old were you then?
Yeah. So what was that, 4 years ago? Yeah. So 30, yeah. 31.
Which
yeah.
is, when you think about it, is crazy, because you could have another 10 years. Look at Jade Clark. I always like to reference Jade.
God,
you live
Jade
with her and she's amazing. She's playing centre, you know, in her late 30s. And it's really interesting to hear that they came to you with the suggestion, and you, your body, the way that you felt, you weren't thinking those things.
Yeah, no, not at all. I like I said, I thought I was playing my best netball. Yeah. But yeah, and I think it's just, don't be open and honest about some things, maybe, because you just don't know like what they might be feeling and thinking, and maybe they were nervous that, oh, well, she might step away and have a baby and
but
leave
that's
us.
Terrible. That's terrible that you
I don't know. I can't
you don't
say
know.
Definitively.
Yeah, of course.
That's why. But yeah, you just, and I'd hope to think no.
What do you think are the taboos around being a female athlete and motherhood? Because just sort of thinking about the wider context of this, England Netball have just launched an industry-leading education program called Netball Her that looks at female health across the whole of the game. And one of the big things is talking about these things. And I think if you have to hold in that you might be thinking about getting pregnant or that you've had a miscarriage, you know, as part of developing in your sporting career, I mean, that's so much to have on you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I'd like to think that we've grown in that space, that I can have this conversation, just say contracting period is at the moment with Super League and SSN, unsure what that looks like with them not having an eighth team at the moment. But if I was, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable saying, look, I want to play netball, but I also want to be a mum next year. I have fertility, it's known that I have fertility problems. I want to be naturally trying, but as well want to be playing netball because I don't want to put my eggs all in one basket.
So to speak.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I would get a contract if I had that conversation. Maybe I'd love to be proven wrong, but that's just how I feel that would fall. Again, that's not what I'm doing, but as in, yeah, so I don't know, but I think that's because of my past experiences.
What do you think needs to change then to make this?
That it's okay to, like, say you're fully committed to something and then also have that in the back of the mind. And if that happens and you get past 3 months and you get a healthy baby from it, how amazing. And you know what? There'll be someone else that will be able to fill your position. And yes, maybe they're not going to be the same caliber of player or whatever. Who cares? Like, that's just, like, that's amazing that we can do both. And, yeah, then I don't know. Because then if you go the other side, if you go through the miscarriages whilst you're doing it, like, that's hard as well. So I see both sides of it. But I also just think we're females. This is not everyone to be a mum either. But we should be able to do our job, which is being an athlete. And if we fall pregnant or we have plans of falling pregnant, because of the what ifs, it's, you're not guaranteed to it. I should still be allowed to play and also be able to try to do that. And you know what? There's going to be so many people that said, no, you have to be 100% committed to the team, blah, 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 all have these negative things. Okay, you're not in my shoes. You're not in an athlete's shoes. It's completely different because we can still give to the team.
Yeah.
We can give our knowledge. We can be there, like, setting standards by, like, driving them, using our voice, giving insight from our own netball brain to help someone stepping into your own, your bib or your dress.
Some might even say that experience adds. Look at Ebenezer Brown. You know, she was determined to get back into the Roses, having had a baby. And actually that knowledge and what you've been through and what your body's coped with, you know, maybe that could add to teams. Thank you so much for being so open and honest
that's
with
right.
me. It's, you know,
I probably rambled a bit.
it's amazing that you talk about it because that's what it needs more of. Let me take you though back to what was going on with you, because you did take the time out away from the Adelaide Thunderbirds and you trained to be a police officer in Australia. And I could totally see that. Like, I would not want to be arrested by you because I think you'd be like on it. But that wasn't the end of your story. What did you learn from being away from sport? And what happened next?
I know this sounds so silly, but as an athlete, sometimes you're just so tired and you're so tired and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm tired. And then I worked like shift work and I was like, yeah, I wasn't tired. That was really nice compared to how tired I actually am now doing night shift. So I always giggle about that. But I realised, because I really struggled for a period of time, who am I without the netball dress? Who am I not being Chelsea Pittman, the athlete, the netballer? Like, what life skills or qualities do I have to offer to be successful in another part of my life, aka adult life, like in the workforce? Because I was a netballer, like I committed to that and I was almost full time. So I really struggled with, oh my gosh, I have no life skills whatsoever. Like, what am I going to do? But then being able to go to the police, go to the academy and work out on the beat for a little bit, I realised that sport had actually given me so many amazing characteristics to be able to deal with stressful situations, conflict resolution, being able to work in a team environment when you don't necessarily like someone, and all these other little things. I was like, oh, yes, I'm actually not just an athlete. I have so many qualities about me that actually can benefit whoever I go work for. It's just about finding that. And I think it's hard to compliment yourself. So that allowed me to see that side of myself. it also made me realize I really miss my sport. Mm. I really miss being an athlete. Not just that, I think it was more the feeling it gave me because I had such a passion and love for it. I was lucky that I had passion and a love for the police. It just was different. So, yeah, I just was always like, oh, and I'd look at people on like social media, and I was doing actually Channel 9 commentary for the Thunderbirds games. I remember the first game and I just felt like a little bit sick, to be honest.
You did well to do that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't know how I feel. Like I just was really anxious and sweaty about it, and everyone at the time wanted to know the goss on what really happened. And I was like, yeah, I'm here to do a job. Let's just focus on this. Yeah, and just watching them, and I was just like, oh, I really want to get back to that. And I didn't know if it would happen. And I think that's why I didn't announce my retirement, because I could have like just gone, okay, let's have a little celebration of me and what I've done. So, yeah, just that was it. And, again, I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to step away. So I got to look at the silver lining, and I learned a lot about myself, and that I would like to go back to the police one day.
Well, who knows? I mean, I do think you could do anything. Obviously, then the call came from West Coast Fever and you were a training partner with them. They then went on to win.
I know.
Amazing. So you were part of that, the first time they've ever won out in Australia, the Suncorp Super Netball. And you were back in the Roses for the first time since 2020 in the Uganda series, which was awesome, 2022. And then a contract with Pulse. Do you feel like it's... You know, you've been on this roller coaster, haven't you? Yeah. Are you on a massive up at the moment?
Yeah, I hope it stays in the up, because we all know a roller coaster has a lot of dips, so it makes the excitement part and all that. But yeah, I think stepping away, I'll go back to that, for that 1 year made me reflect on my career. So what me coming back into the fold is giving me this sense of take a moment and grounding to be like, look where you are. Look at what you've done, appreciate it, sit in it for a bit. Okay, now look at where you're going, type thing. Because I'm, as an athlete, you're so goal focused, and it's like, okay, what's next? What's next? Instead of just, I've achieved it, let's pat ourselves on the back. Yeah, so for me to be able to sit here today and do this podcast and to be part of the World Cup team, it's literally, I've said it before, you couldn't have wrote it in a Hollywood script, and people would be like, oh, this is so far-fetched. That would never happen, like whatever, whatever. But it has for me, for my sporting journey. And like, I know it sounds so silly, but like dreams come true. I still had the dream to, I'm going to get back there. Didn't know how it would happen or if it would happen, but I still kept the flame there burning. And I took a risk, took a chance taking a training partner position. You only paid $5,000 Australian to be a training partner, and you're part of the whole thing. So that was going from being on a proper salary, not a netball salary, but a working salary to that. But again, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And obviously you get match fees if you play, and I got to play a few games.
Yeah.
And yeah, here I am. Yeah, it's exciting. You can hear my voice. I get like, I talk quicker.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I mentioned it at the beginning about determination, and we've talked about age as well, and just your determination to be match fit. What does that mean? And what can you offer to the younger Roses that are coming through?
Yeah, I think, so if I look at, I guess, going to the Uganda series, I felt good, felt like I played some good netball. Jamaica series in January, felt like I played some good netball. And then quad series, didn't quite feel like I was at my, and that was, I think, more just the mental side of it. I forgot how to deal with my nerves. I knew myself inside out for so long on how I feel, how I deal with the nerves, the anxiety that comes around with it. And in January, they were just so overwhelming. I was like, ooh, and they sort of just made me not play freely with my mind and trusting my instinct. And so then I was like, okay, I've got some work to do. And that was when I got to Pulse. I knew that, okay, I need to be on court a little bit more than just our set trainings. I need to be getting myself like a little bit fitter, a little bit stronger, all these little things I can control that will make my brain feel like, yeah, you deserve to be here. You're doing the right thing. And that's just reminding myself on how do I become my best. So that was hard in itself, just getting my flow back. And I think if anyone followed me during the season, like I got better as the season went on. And that was coming from continuous netball, being back to training every day, getting opportunities on court, because yes, I played last year, but I hadn't played a full game of netball since Thunderbirds, because FIVA, I didn't play one full game. the little giant stint I did was a quarter and a half. Like Uganda series was a half here, like sharing positions and stuff. So for me to then get to Pulse and playing a full game, I was like, oh, it's been a while. But that's about like just, I guess, being realistic of where I was at and constantly having the like connection piece with like England, what does that need to look like? And I think you asked about what can I teach the younger roses coming through. Hard work is going to get you there. Like, yes, talent and all that stuff and a little bit of magic and a little bit of luck needs to fall your way, but you need to be willing to do all the hard work behind the scenes that no one sees, no one's watching, no one's forcing you to do for you to be your best, because there will be someone who will want that dress maybe a bit more and will do just one tiny thing a little bit better or more of, and they will just eventually surpass you. So I'm not saying my way is your way. It's finding what your way is. And it's the professionalism part too. You got to be turning up on time, ready to go at the time. You need to be like switched in on, okay, but this is this training session. This is what I want to get out of it. You're not just going through the motions. And I speak about it to everyone. And when I coach girls, like even if you're just passing a ball, that's still an extremely important skill for a netballer. You do it properly. So if you're just doing chest passes between each other, you're not just going through the motions. You're making sure there's intent behind it. You're really pushing it, making them catch it. Just try it. What I try and think is like, think you're a superhero and push that ball through the other person's chest. So they're having to work hard as well. It's all these little mindset things that you just need to have for you. And I think that just proves that you can get there. You just gotta, and it takes time and things happen. That's the biggest thing. If like it doesn't go right the first time, it doesn't matter.
It's not always a straight line,
you can,
is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, my God, there's roadblocks, there's U-turns, there's a lot of swirls in there, there's maybe a break. You just, if you want it enough, you just got to find a way, have conversations with the coaches, put it out to the universe, this is what I want to achieve.
Yeah.
How do I get there?
And that's great advice. And I think for grassroots level as well, I'm taking a bit of what you're giving, Chelsea, because I want to head back to court. You know how to play the big moments. What's been your biggest moment and how do you hold your nerve?
Biggest moment? Like, I look at, like, obviously the Commonwealth Games gold medal, but I think the biggest moment is looking back to the semi-final against Jamaica and we were down by 10. Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, at halftime, so quite a big lead. But a big thing for us mid-quarters is we're told to stay on the circle edge when the shot is going up. Like, do not, because just in case the ball gets tipped out and whatever. I just look back, thank God I stayed on the circle edge for that rebound tip to come out to me, because if I didn't, it would have fallen in Jamaica's hands. The rest would have been history to get it back for Joe Harton to score the winning goal for that one. So in my head, I'm like, that's a moment, because it's drilled into you. Stay on the circle edge, matter what. And so I look at that, I'm like, you know what, if I didn't do that little basic skill, because knowing that, hey, my shooters always shoot at 100% or really high, you can get complacent in that. So I'll take that as my best moment. I know there's other ones, but I just always look That's at that great. Of being like a basic skill that I could have got a bit comfortable with.
I had sweaty palms on that moment. I can remember it so well. So you did absolutely brilliant. Just take me back to the moment that you got that call to say you were going to be part of the England team for the World Cup this year.
Yeah, so I was at the gym doing...
Oh, well done you.
Yeah, my weight session. And we knew that was the day we were finding out. We also knew that you would either get a Zoom call or an email. And like, negative side of me is... if you got a Zoom call or whatever, they're telling you, like, we love you, but...
But no.
Yeah, but no. And so I remember I was up to, like, my core section. So I was towards the end of my gym program and I had a message from Jess, like, hey, are you free to pop onto this Zoom call? And I was like, I remember reading it. I can even remember where I was standing in the gym and I was like, now? And she was like, yeah. So I was like, yeah, sure. And so I went into the changing room. So thankfully no one was in there. And I was on my phone. I just remember I'm holding it up to me. I'm like, hi, Jess. And she just got to it straight away. And I can't remember the exact words, but it's like, you've got yourself on that plane to South Africa in the 12. And I just cried my eyes out, like ugly cried.
heaving.
I really was. I remember I couldn't bring my hand away from my face because I was just so emotional and the phone was shaking and I was just like, oh, like I just was like, and I just kept going. Like, I'm getting emotional thinking about it and just being like, thank you type thing, because I just like I was so unsure of where I sat within the selection side of it. I knew that I was playing good netball, but again, you just don't know those things. Yeah, so that was like such a great feeling. And I just, yeah, I didn't go back and do my abs after that. I remember I composed myself and spoke to Jess about it. And she also on the call said, we also want you in part of the full-time program for the next year, which is like the squad. And I was like, well, like I didn't even think of that. I didn't care. Like the first thing, well, I do care, but I was just like, World Cup, oh my gosh, this is happening. Yeah. And so then I remember coming out of the changing room and my eyes were so red and you could tell I'd been crying because I had mascara on and it was running. Anyway, I was wondering then what the gym goers were like, oh, what's happened to her? Like something bad's happened, but I was just so happy. And it was funny because Jess asked me, she's like, who are you going to call first? I'm like, my mum and dad, definitely my mum and dad. And it was funny because I FaceTimed them, but Dad answered Mum's phone and he's not very phone savvy and he didn't answer it with the video. So I spoke and then Mum heard my cracking voice and she's like, oh, she hasn't made it. It's okay, Bub. Because she didn't see my face because I was like beaming with this massive smile. And she's like, it's okay. I'm like, no. Like I got in. And she's like, well, why are you crying? I was like, because I'm so happy.
The emotion.
Yeah.
Get it out.
So
wow.
That was how it went down. And yeah, I remember because Jade, obviously I was living with her. Sorry, I'm giving you more of the story.
No, I was going to say, what did you and Jade do? Because she's obviously on that plane as well.
Yeah. So she messaged and I was like, hey, has Jess called you? And she's like, yeah. And then I didn't say anything. And then she's like, do you need the unit to yourself? And I was like, no, it's okay. And then we walked in and it was so funny because she was in the kitchen and I walked into the lounge room. So I had to like go around the corner and we sort of looked at each other and just made eyes and we just did a little both nodding. And we were both like, ah! And we like ran to each other. It was literally, we were jumping up and down, skipping like a ring a ring a rosy, pocket full of posy in the lounge room, just screaming, going, we're going to South Africa. Yeah. And it was just such a nice moment. And because we both literally had that half a second like acknowledgement, like you got a good call, yeah, okay, cool. And it was just so good. And then I think we were like, let's go out and get baked treats.
yes get the celebrate. Baked treats, you deserve it, definitely. I've left the two money questions till last, obviously, because I just really want to know these things. If you could put one of the Australian diamonds in jail to stop them going to the World Cup this year, who would it be and why?
Liz Watson.
Okay.
I think she's obviously the skipper.
Mm.
So always the skipper's always one that leads by example and has a big voice in everything. And I'm not, that's in any leadership space. And she, I think, is the driver, the catalyst for everything to be churning and going around in a very positive way for them in the attack end. Mm. And also she's a great defensive player. She's in a phenomenal wing attack. So I think, sorry, Liz, I'm putting you in jail.
Yeah.
Unsure what I could look like, because she probably would only be in the cells for about 4 hours because we'd have nothing to charge her.
What's the crime?
So, like, I feel like she wouldn't do anything wrong.
Be too good. There you go. That's your crime. That's a top answer. Thank you. And finally, ahead of the World Cup this summer, you know, what would it mean to win with that red dress on, to win with the Vitality Roses?
Oh my gosh, we got asked this question in camp last week and I cried telling the girls what it would mean to me. So if I do get emotional, I apologise. Oh my gosh, I'm already emotional. Think about it. I look back at what I've achieved. So I've won a World Cup with the Diamonds and you remember your teammates in that team and the moment. But for me to be able to do it with the group of girls that are selected, to do it for England, I want to achieve this with this group more than anything because I want to be part of this history. I want to reward England Netball for everything they've supplied us to become our best and just to be able to say we did it. And for when I'm 86 in a nursing home with dementia, that I don't remember anything, but I know I'll remember that moment and every single one of those girls' names that were part of the journey. Nothing would mean more to me than winning the World Cup this year. Like it would just be the most special thing in the world and it would be an absolute highlight, obviously, but I want to do it for us and for every England player that's ever pulled on the dress, for us to just get that World Cup gold and for us to be part of that history I won't say we deserve it because every country deserves it because you put in so much time and effort, blood, sweat and tears. But we're so close and it's about bloody time.
Yeah.
So I think, again, I'm not great with words, but it's just the importance of I want to do it now and I want to be part of it and I want to play a part of it and I want to do it with every single girl that is selected because there's something special there. And to do it in the first time it's ever been in an African nation. Like, there's so many special things that would make it just that much sweeter. And also probably knowing this is my last World Cup, I'm not going to be around in 4 years' time.
You never know.
I definitely know that.
No, that's it.
I definitely know. Like I said, there was a special vibration at Commonwealth Games with that group, and I feel it now. We've got something and we're still waiting for the whole group to be together. Mm. It's not going to be easy whatsoever. Like, the margins are so small at top international level. But please.
Well, look, Chelsea, I think you are great with words. And, thank you so much for talking to me, to opening up to me as well. And good luck in your final preparations for the World Cup. We cannot wait to watch you out there on court. Thank you so, so much. And there you go. Liz Watson in jail. You never know what's going to happen on court side. It's been wonderful to have you. Thank you very much indeed.
No, thank you.
Well, there you go. Chelsea Pittman, wasn't she brilliant? And if you'd like to know more about England netball, you can head over to the website. Of course, check out our socials to keep across everything World Cup. And for more information and support around women's health and sport, go to netballher.co.uk. There are, of course, more exclusive interviews with the Vitality Rosies coming your way right here on the official England Netball podcast. Give us a follow wherever you get your podcast so you don't miss a moment. Until then, I'll see you courtside.